Luke chapter 24, we're going to be looking at most of the chapter tonight. But last week we talked in 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 2, we talked briefly about our immortal bodies, what it's going to be like to have an immortal body. As I got to thinking about this, being Resurrection Sunday, I thought this would be a perfect time to just examine Christ's resurrected body and the characteristics of his resurrected body. And no place in the Bible does it tell us more about Christ and his resurrected body than in Luke chapter 24. So we're going to spend our time, for the most part, here in Luke chapter 24 and to look at the qualities of Jesus' resurrected body. And you be watching and see if you can pick it out in your own mind before I find it for you in the verse. But beginning with verse number 1, it says, "And upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher, bringing spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus." All right, so the first fact about the resurrected body of Christ is that Jesus' earthly physical body actually was changed. All right? His body wasn't there. He had died. They placed him in the grave. His body was all wrapped up. They put him in the grave. It was no longer there. The grave clothes, we'll find other passages talk about how the grave clothes were laid and folded up there on the stone ledge. But he wasn't there. His body was gone. And that is very significant. The body was no longer in the grave. His body had risen from the grave. His body is now living and immortal. Look at verse number 5. "And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead?" All right, so Jesus was now living. He was no longer dead. And this is very important because some of the cults teach that Jesus Christ raised spiritually from the dead. He didn't raise physically. His body didn't raise from the dead. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 42 says, "So also the resurrection of the dead, it is sown in corruption and raised in incorruption." Verse 53 of 1 Corinthians 15 says, "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." And so this body that we have now is a mortal body. It is a body that can die, a body that will die, unless the Lord raptures us before that. And we will receive an immortal body, like Christ's immortal body. It was unable to die. It was no longer susceptible to death. It was raised from the dead. So his body was no longer there. The body of his that he had lived in for those 33 years was not in the grave any longer. It had raised and it was changed. Okay. Now, the second thing we see here is that Jesus' new body looked like a human body. Look at verse 15. In verse 15 it says, "And it came to pass that while they..." All right, let's start from verse 13 to get the context. "And behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlong." It's about 11.5 kilometers. "And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them." All right, now, Jesus' body looked like a human body. They weren't walking along and saying, "Oh, watch out, there's a ghost coming. Look out, here he comes." No, they thought he was a man. They looked at him and said, "Here comes somebody, he's just walking along." And Jesus, first of all, he walked. He had a body that walked. You say, "Well, of course he walked." Well, no, you can't assume that. Because if he raised in a spirit, he could have been floating along there. But Jesus was walking. He had a human body. He looked like every other human. But at the same time, he could disguise himself and hide his identity. Look at verse 16. "But their eyes were holden that they should not know him." He closed their eyes somehow. They weren't blind. They were still walking. But they saw him, as a man, but they didn't recognize who he was. Some people would say, "Well, he looked totally different." No, I don't think that he necessarily looked totally different. For some reason, in some way, this immortal body, he was able to make it look so that they didn't actually see who he was and know who he was. We see in Mark chapter 16, verse 12. Mark 16, 12 says, "After that, he appeared in another form unto two of them." So that's talking about the same passage. as they walked and went into another into the country. So he says there that he appeared in another form. John chapter 21, verse 12, Jesus saith unto them, come and dine, and none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. Right? They knew it was the Lord, but at the same time, they said, he looks a little bit different, but we know it was him. Right? So there was something unique, something different about him, but he definitely was a human. They didn't say among themselves, is this a ghost? Is this some extraterrestrial thing? Is this some kind of a spook? What is this? No, they saw it as a man. They said, he is a human. And so, very important for us to see, his body looked very human in its appearance. Now, thirdly, Jesus' body, if you're taking notes, is number C. That's in your bulletin there. Jesus' body could hear and talk. Verse 17. And he said unto them, what manner of communication are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? I said, Jesus was talking to them. And they heard, he heard their conversation, so he had ears that heard like ours. He talked, so he had a mouth that communicated just like a human. And then we find in verses 25 to 27 that Jesus explained the scriptures to them. Verse 25 says, and then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to have entered into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. What a sermon that must have been. That would have been exciting. All right? But Jesus here, he heard, he talked, and he explained the scriptures to them. So we know that his body was one that could hear and talk. Letter D. Jesus' body could think and remember. Look at verse number 27. Verse 27 says, in the beginning of Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures concerning himself. So he could think, he could reason, he could understand and recall the scriptures to them. He explained the scriptures to them. And then also, we find throughout this passage and other passages where he met with the disciples, that he still knew all of his disciples. He knew who they were. Remember when he was entered into the room and Thomas was doubting him, and he said, Thomas, come touch me. He didn't say, oh yeah, you over there. What was your name? Can't remember. No, he knew. He remembered. So that tells us, evidently, our new bodies, we're going to be able to remember things. We're going to be able to remember each other. We're going to be able to remember the scriptures. We'll be able to have a mind that can reason and function like Christ's mind did. You know, exactly how many of these character qualities that Christ had will be transferred over to us. All I can say is he said that we will be like him when we see him as he is. And so we can assume, unless he tells us otherwise, that many of these things will be able to be recognized in our own bodies. Then letter E, we see here that Jesus' body vanished and suddenly appeared. Look at verse 31. And their eyes were opened and knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. He vanished. It simply means he disappeared. He became invisible, is what it literally says. He became invisible. They're sitting there having lunch with Jesus. And he breaks the bread and prays, and as soon as he does, he's gone. Where'd he go? He's gone. He disappeared. And then we find that later on, the same day, that they're gathered in the room together, and in verse number 36, it says, and as they thus spake, Jesus stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. Now here, they're in a locked room. The doors are shut. They're scared out of their wits. They're afraid they're going to get captured and crucified. And they're afraid. And all of a sudden, Jesus is standing in the middle of them. He just appeared. So his body was able to disappear and appear. And yet, it was tangible. This is really strange. How can you have a body that you can touch? He wasn't a spirit. He wasn't a ghost. He wasn't just invisible. They could touch him, but yet he could appear and disappear. So his immortal body was very unique. John chapter 20 and verse number 19 says, in the same day at even, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them peace be unto you. John chapter 20, verse 26 says, and after 8 days, again the disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Both times, John records for us that the doors were shut. Because he wants us to understand Jesus just appeared. He wasn't there, and all of a sudden there he is. He's here. And he is able to disappear and appear. Now, will we be able to do that? I don't know. I think that'd be pretty neat if we could. But I don't know. Possibly we will. He said we're going to have a body like his. We find letter F, that Jesus' body could be touched. Look at verse 39. Verse 39. And behold, my hands and my feet. All right, so Jesus is there, and they're all troubled, and they're scared. And Jesus said, behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. I know several things here. He says, first of all, I'm visible. I have visible hands and feet. So he says, I'm not a ghost. You can see. Here's my hands. Here's my feet. You can see. I've got a body. And he showed them his body. And he said, I'm the same person. He says, it is I myself. Why? He said, it's me. You know me. Why? And again, that indicates that it was his physical body that had been changed. It was still him. He didn't say, it used to be me, but I'm different now. I got a new body. He didn't say that. He says, it's me. And so his body had been changed through this miracle of God, to turn him back into immortality. Then he encouraged his disciples to touch him. He said, go ahead, touch me. Feel me. I've got flesh and bones. I'm real. And you can touch me. And he encouraged that. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 9, we read, and as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by his feet, by the feet, and worshipped him. When they first saw Jesus, the women, when they first saw him, they bowed down and held him by his feet and worshipped him. Okay? So they were touching him. And in John chapter 20, verse 17, John says, Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and to your God. When I hear Jesus said, touch me not, it could be, and I'm not 100% positive on this, but the grammar of the text, it could be, stop touching me. Not just, a lot of times when there's a command like that, if it's in the present tense, it can have the idea of stop doing something that they were doing. It wasn't like, don't touch me, because he already told the other ones, go ahead and touch me. Otherwise, if he really meant, don't touch me, he must have ascended between that time and the time he saw his disciples, not long after that. And that is possible, but that seems unlikely. So it's probably more the idea of, stop touching me now, I have not ascended to my Father. Exactly why he said that, I'm not sure. So we will have to do some pondering and praying on that one. But John chapter 20, verse number 27 says, and then saith Thomas, to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. So here he said to Thomas, Thomas, touch me. Touch my hands. Look at this scar in my hand. Touch me. Put your hand in my side where the hole was. They put the spear in. Touch me. And so, both times, he's encouraging them to touch him. And then, so that one time he said, don't touch me. So, it is a bit of a confusing one. So there's probably another explanation, and what I shared with you may be a possibility. Okay, and then letter G in our notes. Jesus' body had flesh and bones. We see that again in verse 39 there. He says that, a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. So they could see his skin. They could not see his bones, but the very fact that I can hold my hands out like this, you know I got bones in there, because the bones are the structure behind it. If I didn't have any bones in there, it'd all be wimp. All right? So they saw him. They knew that he was standing up. Or if he had no bones in his body, he couldn't stand like that. He wouldn't have that structure to be able to do. So he said, I have flesh and bones. He didn't say anything about blood. All right? He probably didn't have blood, but he had flesh and bones. All right? And so he's emphasizing it. He said, a spirit doesn't have flesh and bones like I have. I have bodily structure. Acts chapter 2 and verse 31 says, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. All right, so he talks about his flesh. All right, so it was Christ's bodily resurrection. His flesh rose from the dead. He had flesh afterwards. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 9, it says, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." All right, so he had a bodily form. He had bodily structure. He did not have, he wasn't just a spirit. He had flesh and bones and bodily structure. Okay, letter H. Jesus' body still had crucifixion scars. Look at verse 40. And he said, "And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet." All right. So showing them his hands and his feet, they could see his hands just because they would have stuck out of the robe anyway. But he showed them his hands and his feet. I believe he was saying, "Look at the hole in my wrist. Look where they put look at the scars there. And look at my feet where they drove the spikes through my feet. It's me." And so he still had those scars from that time. In John chapter 20, verse number 27, it says, "And then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless." Revelation 5, 6 says, "And behold, and lo, he in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth unto all the earth." So he talks there about having been slain. He was a lamb like it had been slain. Now, what is that describing? Well, it's describing one that's been bled. It's covered with blood. There's something, it's been killed. It isn't alive anymore. And so he's showing the evidence of his crucifixion. And then Acts 1 verses 10 and 11, when Jesus was ascending back to heaven, it says, "And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." Said, so this same Jesus, the same one you saw, the same one you walked with, the same one you talked with, the same one you ate with, this same Jesus is going to come back. All right, and then evidently we are going to maintain some of our physical characteristics. Hopefully not the bad ones. But some of our physical characteristics apparently are going to be still there. We'll be able to still recognize each other somehow, unless, you know, we just have ways of looking beyond the physical characteristics and see the real us inside. All right? So that's something for us to ponder and think over. Who knows what the answer to that one is. Now, Jesus' body was able then to eat and drink. Look at verse 42 and 43. This is point I in your notes, if you're taking notes there. Verse 42 says, "And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and an honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them." All right, so he had a piece of fish and some honeycomb and ate it. So Jesus was able to eat. He wasn't a spirit. He had a physical body. It was physical looking. And yet he could eat. Did he need to eat? Probably not. But he was able to eat. You know, there's a lot of mysteries there. We still don't have all the answers. But one day we'll be like him and we'll see him and we'll be able to see some of that. We find also in Acts chapter 10 that in verse number 41 it says, this is when Peter was talking to Cornelius. And he says, "Not all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead." All right, so Peter said, we ate and drank with him. He was there. We had meals together. He ate, we ate. He drank, we drank. We saw him. He was alive. He was real. And so he could eat and drink. We find in John 21, verse 13, "Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise." All right, so Jesus was preparing a meal for them that day at the seashore, and he was able then to cook and to serve them. So he had a physical body. He was able to cook and serve. He ate with them. He drank with them. He did all the physical things that we see there. And so his body was real. One letter J, Jesus' body was able to ascend into heaven. This is something mystery as well. Verse number 51. And it came to pass that while he blessed them, that he parted from them and carried up into heaven. All right, he was parted from them and was carried up into heaven. So Jesus is standing there, he's talking to his disciples, and all of a sudden, he starts raising up. See you later, guys. And he's gone. Now, his physical body couldn't have done that. He had an immortal body. Now, there's questions that come to our minds. I mean, maybe you're not as quizzical as I am, but I think, are we going to be able to just appear and disappear? Are we going to be able to float up in the sky? Are we going to be... I don't know. You know, you look into the future and what it talks about in Revelation, you know, it talks about the new heaven and the new earth and we will be reigning with Christ. And it almost sounds like the new Jerusalem is either going to come down as a satellite over the new earth or actually be planted on the new earth. If it's a satellite over it, we'll be able to zoom back and forth in a blink of time to just go there and come back. And I don't know. There's all kinds of little things that are still mysteries. But it gives us good things to ponder and dream about, and these will give us some basis for doing that. Now, some other facts that I'll just add to this that come from other scriptures that will help us to just focus on this. The verse that we looked at last week, 1 John 3:2, again it says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be." So that even John didn't really understand what we're going to be completely. But he said, "But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." We're going to be like him. Even though we don't really understand all about it, we're going to be like him. Philippians 3, verse 21 is another one that goes hand in hand with that. It says, "Who shall change our vile body that it might be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself." We're going to have a glorious body like Christ's glorious body. He's going to change us, make us new. And the resurrection body will be a more powerful body. 1 Corinthians 15:43. Notice what this says. "It is sown in dishonor and it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power." Now, exactly what that means, I don't know. Does it mean that we are sown in weakness? The idea is when we die in this weak body, but we're going to be raised in a powerful body. Powerful in what way? Don't know. But there's going to be something more powerful about. Maybe powerful enough to zoom through the air or appear and disappear. I don't know. Something's changed about it. Letter C. Resurrection bodies will be similar to those of angels. All right. "We will not marry and reproduce or die." Luke chapter 20 and verse 36 says, "Neither can they die anymore, for they are equal unto the angels and are children of God, being children of the resurrection." All right, so we're not going to die. We're going to be equal to the angels in our bodily structure, apparently. And we're going to be children of God. All right, and Matthew 22, verse 30 says, "For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven." All right, so we're not going to marry. We're not given marriage. We're not going to reproduce. But we'll be like the angels. Another thought. And the resurrection bodies will be glorious and never corrupt. All right? In 1 Corinthians 15:42, it says, "So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption and raised in incorruption." Corruption's gone. 1 Corinthians 15:43 says, "It is sown in dishonor and raised in glory. It is sown in weakness and raised in power." So there's going to be a change. We're not going to corrupt anymore. And then the last one, in 1 Corinthians 15:44, we see here the body will be spiritual rather than natural. And I'm not sure exactly what that means either. But it says there, "It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body." There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. So it's not going to be it's not going to be our same mortal body. It's going to be a different body. It's going to be a spiritual body. It's going to be a unique body. No longer have our earthly needs that we have now. The needs to eat and the needs to sleep and the other needs of our bodies. They'll be gone. All right, now, one day, every Christian, every true Christian will get a new body. And when we zoom into God's presence and see Him, we'll get a new body. That'll be a wonderful day. And that body will be like the immortal body that Christ had when He resurrected. As I was pondering over all this during the week, I wondered, what was Adam and Eve's body like when they were first created? Did God create them immortal? And as I thought on that, I thought, you know, I was part of the time, I almost convinced myself that yes, that's what it was. We'll be getting a body back like it was before the fall. But then I thought, well, there's got to be something a little different before that, because God told them before the fall, He told them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. God told them before the fall that they were to be married and leave and cleave. So they have marriage and reproduction before the fall. And God says that that's not going to be part of our new body. So there's going to be some things different than it was with Adam and Eve. But maybe there's going to be some similarities. I think there probably will be a lot of similarities, but exactly what they are, there are some good things to go to sleep thinking about, all right? So tonight, take these things with you, ponder them, sleep on them, think over them, dream about them. You know, these are the great things to dream about, a lot better than all the spooky things that we dream about, all right? So dream about this kind of stuff. Ask God to give you some thoughts and ideas, and we'll obviously have to wait until we get there to find out for sure. But it's going to be a wonderful day, and the thought of leaving this earthly body and getting a heavenly body will be wonderful. A wonderful thing. A wonderful change. And the scriptures that we looked at last week talks about not only do we get the new body, but we get to get rid of all the stuff that we don't like about this old earth. The pain and the suffering and the death and the sadness and the sin and all the things that are part of this, but that are outside of the body, so to speak, but we also get a new body to go along with it. So ponder those things. Let the Lord speak to your heart, and I believe it can be an encouragement to our hearts tonight. Let's pray.